Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Chamish, the fifth chapter in the Rambam, Hilchos Avodah, the laws of slaves, which we now we begin the next topic of the laws of the Eved Kanani, of the non-Jewish slave. Specifically in this Perek regarding how the non-Jewish slave goes out to be a free man. As Rambam gives a halacha regarding the acquisitions, how to acquire Eved Kanani, and how he goes free. So Eved Kanani, Nikdim Chamish Advarim, the non-Jewish slave can be acquired in five different ways. The Kainis Hatzmav Shlesha, and he acquires himself and he goes out free in three ways. So Nikdim, he can be acquired by Kesef, with money, a bishtar, or the document, a bechazaka, or taking possession of him, a bechalipin, or through the medium of exchange, a bemashicha, or by pulling. The kindness asman acquires himself a kesser with money, a bishtar, or the document, or with the severance of the tip of his organs. And the Eved Katan, regarding a minor slave, he's like an animal, because he's a minor, has no das, no intelligence, and therefore, v'nikin v'mashicha, he can be acquired by being pulled, k'mashicha's a behema, like when you pull an animal, where you call it and it comes, contrary to an adult slave, since he has intelligence, when you call him, it comes really based on his own intention, and therefore, he cannot be acquired by mashicha, rather by being pulled by force. U'gvar be'an b'tchil sebezeh, we already explained the beginning of this book, meaning in the Sefer Kinyan, which is in the second parak in Hechaz Mechira Alocha Alf Tadal, called Derachim Shabbatim Niknim, all the ways that the slave could be acquired through them. And therefore here the Rambam only doesn't discuss the ways that the Eved could be acquired, that we already spoke about, rather the ways that he could acquire himself, meaning how he goes free. And that the Rambam continues Alocha Beis. How he leaves, starting with the first one, that with Kesef. So Ketzer Koin Nesat Mekesef, how does the slave acquire himself? How does he go free with money? So Kukoin, for example, Shunasin Echel Rabbo in Mois. Someone gives his master money, Bamalein, he says to the master, I'm giving you this money on the condition that through these monies your slave goes out to be a free man. So once the master gets the money or what this thing that's worth money, the slave goes out to be a free man. Now you don't need the awareness of the slave, because it's a merit for him, and you could merit for a person even not with him being there. So if someone gives the slave money, and he says, I'm giving you this money, I'm a nasha teza ben lechez, I'm the condition that you use it to get out as a free man. If the master wants to go out and take the monies, then the slave goes out to be a free man. If the master doesn't want, then actually the slave did not acquire the monies, because that other person didn't give it to him, only with that he could use it to go out as a free man. Because that explains it, because really whatever the slave gets, the master gets. He's giving it to him only if not for that. Now, money or something that's worth money is the same, being like whether to acquire this slave, whether to acquire himself, money and shava kesef is the same. Halacha Gimel continues with, okay, how does he redeem himself? How does he go out free with a document? So ketzav b'shtar, how does it work with a document? So ketzav loy, he writes to him al anyar on the piece of paper, al acheres on the earthenware. The master writes this to the slave. Hariyat ben chayin, you're a free man. Oy hariyat shal atzmach, you're for yourself. Oy ainli esek boch, I have nothing to do with you, no business with you anymore. B'chein koyetzav zeb in yuzeh, anything that's similar like that, like this type of idea. Shazehu gufish get shichur, because that's the primary text of the document of emancipation. U'moishles hashtar b'fneishnei edim, and he gives him over the document in front of two witnesses. Oy shahayu ha'edim chasumen boy. Or if the witness who actually signed in the document, and even if he gives it between him and himself, so he goes out to be a free man, which explains how could he give it to him, whatever he gets is really his master's. No, his document and his hand, his ability to receive, that he has his own right, coming at the same time, and hence that's he goes out as a free person. Now, let's say he tells him not in writing, you're a free person, you're for yourself. Then and even the witnesses testify for him in court that he said that. Even if they made a kinyan on that, doesn't make a difference that Dalin Nishtachi has not gone out to be a free person. Shein Eved Yishlachayis, because the slave does not go out to be a free person. Ella only one of the three ways that we said. Bekesef, with money, someone they buy him out. Oy Bishtar, or the document, not by with speech. Oy Bidosh Avarim, or with the tips of his organs. Now, if someone writes to his maidservant, you're permitted to any single person, Lord Mekuma hasn't said anything, because that's actually the text of a divorce document of marriage, not for that of emancipation, and therefore the non-Jewish slave woman would not go out free that way. Halacha Dalet continues with the third way. How does the slave go out with the tips of his organs? So, someone intentionally hits his slave. And he created a severance of one of the 24 tips of the limbs that will not regenerate, will not come back. The slave goes out free, but again, he still needs the document of emancipation. So why does the Torah say, if it's all these 24 ones, why say specifically the example in the Torah is knocking out his teeth or blinding his eye? So that's actually lod mem to learn out from them in comparison. Mashin ba'ayin, just like the teeth and the eyes. Mumin shabagalu are revealed blemishes that you see, and ba'in mechazim they do not regenerate when they get injured. Of kol mumin shabagalu ba'in mechazim, so too any blemish that's revealed and does not come back, those are two criterion. That is yitzei eved b'lecheres. Those are the things that the slave will go out to be a free person. Aval but hamasodes avdi b'beitim. Someone castrates his slave, which he severs the testicles of the slave. He cuts off his tongue. In Yitzhak Chayes, he would not go out free, although these are tips of organs. Because they're not revealed, they're hidden, you don't see them, and therefore that they're not revealed blemishes. So if someone knocks out the tooth of a minor, in the Yitzhak Chayes, he would not go out free, even though it's the biblical case, sure, he's stable because it's going to come back. Has to have those two criterion, it's revealed, and will not regenerate. In Yitzhak B'Rosh Hashanah now, you cannot go out with the severance of the tips of the organs. Only the slaves that have circumcised and have immersed themselves, which that's the requirement of the Eved Kanani, that we're shari yeshna, but makes the mitzvah. Then he has halacha, like a woman, in that regard, that he has the obligation of some of the mitzvahs. But regarding the slave that remained as a total non-Jew, in the Yitzhak Rosh, he does not go out free with having his Rosh Yavam knocked out. Now, Elohim Rosh Yavam Shem Chayzam, what are the tips of the limbs that do not regenerate, that are the 24? The Etzbay Sudam Raglam, those are the fingers of the hands and the feet, which is Estrim, 20. There's five on digits on each of the hands and each of the feet, times 4 is 20. Rosh is Noyim, the tip of the ears, Rosh Yachidim, the tip of the nose, Rosh Yagvir, the tip of the male organ, Rosh Yadan Shem Isha, and the tip of the nipples of the breasts of a woman. Those are 24. Ablainam Yashinayim, but the eyes and the teeth, they're really explicitly in the Torah, so they're not included in the 24, and therefore that's where we get this number from. Halacha Vav. Let's say the slave had an extra digit, an extra finger, on not five, but actually six fingers. And the master cut it off. So in this bet is al-gabayat, if it's counted on the surface of the hand, meaning it's in the order and line of all the other fingers, then if that gets cut off, then the slave will go out free just as the same. Now, regarding a wound of this chasarim of the Rosh Yevarim, the Ram qualifies. He says, "I say in his semuya. Let's say the slave's eye was already blind. But he popped it out. Every yitzav b'lecheres, the slave's going to go out free. Should he chisre eved? Because ultimately he created a loss of a limb, which is one of the types that would send him free. V'adin la'echad me Rosh Yevarim. So to any one of the other tips of the limbs, shubatel, which it's not working, he cannot do work with it. But shem chatoch, if he cuts it off, ultimately he created a loss of that limb. V'yas l'cheres, he goes out free. Halacha zayin, he call in b'simol. Let's say he knocks him on the eye and he blinds him, or al oznim v'cheres, he knocks him on the ear and he causes him to go deaf. Although you didn't cut it off, but the creating the lack of its ability is also the equivalent and would send the slave free. Now he called connected enoi. But let's say he knocked him right opposite the eye. Didn't touch his eye, but right opposite the ear, now he can't see anymore. Okay, naked eyes of the Shema, right opposite his ear, now he cannot hear. In Ebedeus and the slave would not go out free. The reason for that is because ultimately it's the person themselves that caused the blindness or the deafness because of their trauma reactivity, but it's their own self. It wasn't the master that did it directly. Halacha ches, he called Enoi. If let's say he knocks him on the eye, but chasrim oyder, now he caused a diminishment of his vision. Or al shinoi, he knocked him on the tooth of another, and he caused it to shake. So it depends. Im yochel shamash bem, if he could still use the eye and the tooth, and yitzal ches doesn't go out free because that wasn't a total knockout. Vim lav, if not, he can't use it anymore, then yitzal ches goes out free. It's equivalent as having knocked it out. Halacha tes, he said in the keya. Now let's say the other way around. Let's say his eyesight was actually very weak, but chasrim oyder, and he lacked in his vision. Or his tooth was already shaking. Now the master knocked him. And he knocked out the shaky tooth. Or he blinded the very weak eye. So if he had been able to use it up until this point, even a minute amount, now he can't see anything or use it at all, he goes out free. If it didn't have any utility up until now, then he didn't do anything. He does not go out free because it's like it was ready to be knocked out as if it was already knocked out of it. Halacha yud. He ko al yodai b'tzavsi yodai. Let's say he knocks him on the hand, and his whole hand swells, blows up. But v'sefer lavas, it's going to end up going down, the swelling. Then he still cares, doesn't go out free. Let's say tolish b'zikon. Let's say he pulls at his beard. V'dildul by etzem alechi. That caused the bone from his jaw to become dislodged. So yitzel cares, actually, that's going to send him free. Why? Because shari bitl ma'isa hashanayim hakavuz by etzem. Now, that caused the teeth that are in the jawbone to become void, and therefore that's affecting the teeth, which teeth if you knock it out. That'll send them free. This pulling of the beard, which dislodges the jaw, which affects the teeth, will do the same thing. Halachi Rav, regarding the intent of when he's hitting the Rosh Ebarim, if he knocks out his tooth, or he knocks it blinds out his eye, without intent. For example, he was throwing a stone on the animal, but and it fell on the slave. Or and he knocked out his tooth, or cut up his finger. The slave will not go out free. Why? Because the pasuk says in Shemais, if the teeth of his slave, or the teeth of his maidservant, yapil, he'll cause to fall, which it sounds actually he's covered until he does it intentionally. Halacha Yud Beis. Let's say the woman's giving birth and the master sticks his hand into the womb of the maidservant as he's delivering the baby. Now he blinds the eye of the fetus that's in the womb. That will not send them free. Because he doesn't even know this to intend to it, to have done that intentionally. Therefore, if it wasn't intentionally, that will not send the slave free, although it's blinding the eye. Let's say the master was a doctor. V'amalai, and the slave says to the master, look, chayli einei, could you put in the medical treatment in my eye? V'siman, he caused him to go blind. Or let's say he says, chasar li shini, could you excavate my teeth? V'pilin, he caused the teeth to come out. Sachik ba'adni, can laugh at the master, v'yitzel chayis, go out free. Sha'av pishlein, niskavim lahasigal, though the master did not intend to harm him, but he niskavim l'ngoy be'ibri ha'evid, v'nistakim him, but he did intend to touch the organ, the limb of the slave, and cause him to be in a situation of danger, and ultimately, it was an intentional act. I'll be not an intentional act of damage. So therefore, knocking out his eye, blinding his eye, and knocking out his teeth will send him free. And let me remember to say, if the eye of the slave was in pain, and the master was optometrist, it was a professional, and he knocks it out, for sure he's going to go out free, where here he was intending to do this action, and therefore that sends him free. Halachi Dalad, regarding the slave that goes out with Rashi Abar. If someone knocks out the teeth of a slave, or blinds his eye, now let's say he does both of those things. So he'll go out free because of the tooth that was knocked out, and then now he's already a free person. When he moment later blinded his eye, has to give him the monetary value for blinding his eye, like a regular person, you have to pay for the chabalah. Anything similar like that, once he went free, the later damage that he did, he's liable like a free person. Now, someone that's half slave, half free person. Let's say he had two masters and one freedom, so he's half free and half slave. Or the slave of two partners. In the Yitzhak B'Rosh Hashem, he will not go out with this halacha of the severance of the tip of his limbs. Because he's not designated for this master that injured him. And it has to say Avdai, and here it's not Avdai because it's shared with him and another master or with him and himself. Halacha design, Avdi Tzern Barzel. What's called the slaves of the iron sheep, which are terminology that the husband accepts responsibility for his wife's assets, where in this case it's the slaves, where it is considered designated, it's like almost like he owns it. Hence, those slaves will actually go out with the tips of their limbs being knocked out if that was caused by the husband. But not the woman, although it's really she owns it, but for the duration of the marriage, it's like as if the husband owns it because he takes full responsibility and he can do whatever he wants with it. In contrast, Avdi Maloig, which are not owned by the husband, but he has the rights just to have its utility. They do not go out with the severance of the tip of the limbs. Not if the husband calls them to fall out because he doesn't have any ownership of those slaves, only the utility, and that's not considered like the ownership of the body themselves, and therefore not the adun. And so to not even if the woman calls them to fall out, even though she's the owner of the principal, because ultimately it's not designated for her, it's like two masters, because the husband gets all utility rights. And therefore, the slave will not go out free with the Rosh Ebarim. Halacha Yitzayin, Yitzisa Eved B'Rosh Ebarim. Now this halacha of the slave going out, this non-Jewish slave with the tips of the organs of the limbs being cut off, Noig B'chol Makom, it applies in all places, not only in Eretz Yisrael, B'chol Zman, and at all times, in contrast, let's say the halacha of Eved Ibri only goes out at a time when Yevil applies, and then the whole halacha of Eved only applies. Here, the Eved Kanani, all places, all times, Ve'in Donabai El Bebezna Smuchan. Now, to educate such a case, is only in a court of those who have smicha, neshu kanas, because it's halacha penalty, which requires smuchim, requires those who have rabbinic ordination going back from Moshe Rabbeinu. The figure of the rabbi, so if the slave says to the master, he paltashini, you knocked out my teeth. Bissimah says, you blinded my eye. And the Gersa seems to have a lamed aleph over here, says, no, lo yasisi, I did not do this. So Potter, the master is going to be exempt from a carbon if he swore falsely, what's called a carbon shvuah. Why? Because if he would admit on his own that he did it, Actually, would not have to send them free without witnesses, because there's a halacha of shahamayda b'knas, whoever admits to a penalty, which is this halacha of roshei barim, is actually pot, is actually exempt. And if that's the case, when he swore falsely, it didn't cause a loss of money. And the halacha of kamen shvur is only if you were causing him a loss of money. Like we explained this in laws of theft in Perakav Alochei, whoever admits to a penalty, Patim al-Shalma is exempt from paying. So here where he denied it, even if he, it turns out that he was lying, is not liable for the carbon of the shvu when he swears falsely.